deal with Syria. The Syrian president, in his visit to Moscow, made sure that the Syrian territories and sovereignty is not a football in a match between the different Turkish political parties that are going for the elections, as we see. But so the Syrian government will definitely hold on until the end of the elections. And no matter who gets into power in Turkey, whether it's Erdogan returning into office or the opposition taking power, all of the parties in Turkey and the military of Turkey want to end the occupation of Syrian territory. So we will see that after the elections results, because Syria does not want to give now and you know, deal with the issue of the occupation now and become part of the internal politics of Turkey. This is not Syrian sovereignty.
Thank you very much, Laith Maruf, activist and political commentator, joining us from Beirut. Thanks for shedding light on the different aspects of the situation there. And moving on, the United Nations Children's Agency says over 500,000 Yemeni children under the age of 5 are suffering life-threatening severe acute malnutrition. UNICEF issued the warning in a new report, adding one Yemeni child dies every 10 minutes from preventable causes. The world body said a total of 11 million children are in need of humanitarian assistance in Yemen. UNICEF, however, has warned that it might have to slash support for Yemeni children without a funding boost. The organization says that it requires $484 million to continue assistance this year. The UN raised only $1.2 billion for all of its agencies in Yemen at a pledging conference in Switzerland last month. Saudi Arabia and its allies launched a devastating war on Yemen in March 2015. The war has killed hundreds of thousands of Yemenis and led to what the UN calls the world's worst humanitarian crisis. Tensions continue to rise on the Korean Peninsula as Pyongyang claims to have tested a new tactical weapon capable of creating a, quote, radioactive tsunami. The North Korean military says it has tested a new nuclear-powered underwater attack drone, which can be deployed at any coast and port. The country's leader, Kim Jong-un, who oversaw the test launch this week, said the exercise was a warning to Washington and Seoul to be aware of the North's nuclear deterrence. Reacting to the latest test, South Korea's President Yoon Suk-yeol vowed that Pyongyang would pay for its, quote, reckless provocations. Yoon, who has been staging several joint military drills with the U.S. over the past year, says Seoul would develop its own nukes if deemed necessary. Moving on, Iran has criticized the French government for its heavy-handed response to the ongoing protests in the country. Foreign Ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani urged authorities in France to stop the use of violence against demonstrators. He said Tehran does not support destruction or rioting, but the French government should still try to talk to people and listen to their voices. A pension overhaul has been sparking strikes and demonstrations across France since it was announced in January. President Emmanuel Macron fueled the chaos last week after he decided to finally adopt the bill without a parliamentary vote. The changes will raise retirement age from 62 to 64 and make it more difficult to attain full pensions. Moving on, the Israeli Prime Minister has traveled to London to meet with the UK officials, but in the British capital, Benjamin Netanyahu has been greeted by protests against his contested judicial reform. Tensions between Beijing and Washington are reaching a fever pitch over the U.S. warship that has sailed through the South China Sea. Beijing says that it has once again driven away the U.S. Navy guided missiles destroyer that illegally entered its territorial waters. Beijing warned Washington to immediately stop what it calls such provocative acts, and China said that the U.S. will face serious consequences if it brushes aside a stern warning. The U.S. Navy says that its warship has been asserting its navigational rights and freedoms. It was for the second day in a row that Beijing drove away the U.S. Navy destroyer from the waters around the Paracel Islands. China claims vast swaths of the South China Sea, but Sovereignty over the area is a major source of contention between Beijing and Washington. The Israeli finance minister has sparked yet another controversy by claiming that there is no such thing as a, quote, Palestinian people, history, and culture. He has a history of making such provocative remarks against the Palestinians earlier this year. He called for the Palestinian town of Hawara and the occupied West Bank to be wiped out.
Israel's far-right finance minister Bezalel Smotrich has sparked yet another backlash following controversial remarks on Palestinians. The controversial minister has hit the headlines by saying that Palestinian people are an invention of the past century. Smotrich said that there was no such thing as a Palestinian because there's no such thing as the Palestinian people. He said there are no Palestinians because there are no Palestinian people. There are Arabs around who don't like it. So what do? They invent a fictitious people and claim fictitious rights to the land of Israel, only to fight the Zionist movement. Smotrich is part of veteran leader Benjamin Netanyahu's hard right cabinet that took office in December. He made those remarks during a trip to Paris, during a memorial for Jacques Kupfer, an activist for Israel's right-wing Likud party who died in 2021. Smotrich is well known for making inflammatory statements against Palestinians. He's also a staunch opponent of the establishment of a Palestinian state. On March 1st, the racist Israeli minister sparked an international outrage by saying the Palestinian village of Hawara in the West Bank should be wiped out following a rampage by Israeli settlers. Those remarks were so repugnant that even the U.S., which is Israel's ally, criticized the statement.
In the West Bank town of Hawara, over 400 settlers, backed by Israeli soldiers, torched Palestinian homes, businesses, and vehicles, and killed 37-year-old Sama Aktash in what senior IDF commanders have called a pogrom. Israel's finance minister Smotrich, who describes himself as a fascist homophobe, openly said Hawara should be wiped out. Mr. Speaker, such extremism has given license by a lack of international accountability.
The controversial remarks have sparked a wave of condemnation. The Palestinian Prime Minister has said the comments show the racist ideology of the Israeli regime. Jordan's House of Representatives has also vowed to expel Israel's ambassador.
The controversial comments have triggered an angry response from Palestinian officials. The Palestinian Prime Minister Mohammed Shataya has blasted the remarks as inflammatory. He said the Palestinian land belongs to Palestinian people and Israel is a colonial entity.
The statements made by Israeli Minister Smotrich that there is no Palestinian people and that it was invented in the last 100 years is conclusive proof of the extreme racist Zionist ideology. These inciting statements are consistent with the original Zionist narrative, land without a people, for people without a land, and that the Palestinian lands are disputed, that they are the promised land, and similar such false claims. These statements, for those who wanted to eliminate dialogue expressing the arrogance of power, do not shake our belonging to our land and our history.
Farhan Haq, deputy spokesman for the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, dubbed the minister's remarks completely unhelpful, stressing the Palestinian people obviously exist. The European Union's foreign policy chief also criticized Smotrich's statement.
But I have to deplore this unacceptable comment by Minister Smotrich. It is wrong, it is disrespectful, it is dangerous, it is counterproductive to say these kinds of things in a situation which is already very tense.
It's not widely believed that such controversial comments reveal the racist nature of the Israeli regime. Meanwhile, the Tel Aviv regime sparked another backlash by implementing a controversial policy against Palestinians. The Israeli Knesset has paved the way for settlers' return to 4 settlements in the occupied West Bank by amending a 2005 law that ordered their evacuation. The legislative changes are particularly provocative and counterproductive to efforts to restore some measures of calm as Muslims prepare for the holy month of Ramadan. The U.S. has also said that it's, quote, extremely troubled by the controversial law. Israel is accused of imposing a system of apartheid on Palestinians living in the occupied West Bank and the Gaza Strip. Yet it receives at least $3.8 billion of U.S. aid annually. Israel captured the West Bank including Al-Quds and Gaza, in 1967. Since then, it has been building settlements, housing hundreds of thousands of Israelis on the occupied lands. All Israeli settlements are illegal under international law.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of World News. Stay tuned.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
For the Iranian people, the arrival of spring is all about a long-lasting tradition, a celebration rooted in history and the glorification of growth and vigor in Mother Nature. As early sprouts appear in nature and there is a floral scent spread in the atmosphere, life gets surprisingly lively in Iran because Nowruz is here again. Nowruz is the Iranian New Year, which is celebrated worldwide by various ethno-linguistic groups. Nowruz is a rite dating back to at least the 6th century BC, marking the new year and ushering in spring. This historic rite is observed on 21st March in many countries along the Asian Silk Road, including India, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, Azerbaijan, Turkey, Iraq, and Iran. It starts exactly with the coming of spring, which is considered to have great spiritual significance, symbolizing the triumph of good over evil and joy over sorrow. In recognition of the importance of this ancient rite, Nowruz was inscribed on UNESCO's representative list of the intangible cultural heritage of humanity in 2009. Moreover, in 2010, the United Nations General Assembly proclaimed 21st of March as the International Nowruz Day.
But this year, Nowruz has a special flavor to it, and that is the fact that the Persian New Year celebrations has coincided with the holy month of Ramadan. In the month of Ramadan, the Quran, which is the Muslims' holy book, was revealed, and Muslims around the world are expected to fast during this period. It is also a time for prayer and reflection. To take a closer look at how Nowruz celebrations and Ramadan rituals happen together this year, please stay with us on this edition of Iran Today.
Nowruz holiday in Iran is a two-week event. It is mostly about socializing and strengthening family bonds and meeting up with old friends. During the holiday, Iranians visit friends, family, and take pride in lavishing hospitality. The issue of family is very important for Iranians, and unlike in the West, where families are getting smaller, family expansion and the tradition of seeing and visiting in Nowruz is highly desired.
A very beautiful tradition that exists among Iranians during Nowruz is that the annoyances and differences are resolved with the arrival of the new year. That is, when spring comes, Iranians settle differences and go to visit each other. Another beautiful point is that people give to others from what they have earned. Fathers and grandfathers give cash as festive gifts to grandchildren. The elders of the family usually spread a table and invite the relatives to eat, and this gathering brings their hearts together.
Nowruz is also a perfect opportunity for the families to go on trips, making these 2 weeks a prime travel season.
Iranian Nowruz is a symbol of peace. That is, we convey our peace and friendship to the world in this festivity. And the world also knows that the spring of nature and the beginning of nature is the beginning of all good things and friendships. The nation of Iran has extended its hand of friendship to all nations. And as the head of the Tourism Commission of Iran's parliament, I invite all the nations of the world to see the peace-loving country of Iran closely. Iran is a very beautiful yet safe country, and its people are very hospitable.
The holidays culminate in a special festival called Sizebedar. This national event falls on the 13th day of the new year. On the last day of the holidays, everyone goes out to spend time in nature. People often set off for the countryside or the parks to set up tents and have picnics.
Nowruz does not only belong to Muslims. It is actually a fluid and sublime culture that has made a home in every part of the world. Today, if you want to leave Iran, for example, you cannot take your home and life with you. What you take with you is your cultural heritage, and no obstacle can stop you from passing on this culture.
But this year, on the third day of Nowruz, Ramadan starts, and this will change everything. Most people will be observing the Ramadan by fasting, and this will have an impact on the ways people normally celebrate Nowruz holidays. Nowruz always falls on the same day, but Ramadan follows the Islamic calendar, and this year it coincides with Nowruz.
In response to the environmental demands and in response to Islam, Nowruz has been able to incorporate the teachings of Islam. That is, Islam came and not only did not eliminate Nowruz, but also promoted it. Today, you will not see a Nowruz table without the Quran. Nowruz table without Quran has no meaning for Iranians. This indicates how interwoven Islamic teachings and traditions of the ancient Iran are.
You know that during the holy month of Ramadan, due to the spiritual aspects of this holy month, many violations and crimes that take place in the country are reduced. I have seen in the statistics that crimes and sins are reduced by 75% in the country. As you know, one of our religious teachings is to visit each other every now and then. This tradition is in fact part of Nowruz traditions, but we also have it in our religion Islam. During the year, it happens that we don't have the time to visit some relatives and friends, but during Nowruz, all Iranians make sure to take the time to visit each other.
The Islamic occasions are observed based on the lunar calendar. In the lunar, it is to the solar, and therefore do not correspond with the sea. The lunar year is shorter than the solar year by about 11 days, so the events move all the time. For instance, Ramadan can be in summer or winter or any. As it happened this year, the start of Ramadan wrapped the holidays in Iran. Outside of the religious events and for the day-to-day activities, most Muslim countries use a solar calendar to avoid complications.
The first work that the Islamic Republic of Iran registered in the list of its national heritage was Nowruz. And after that, the work that was proposed as a was again the Nowruz case. The Nowruz case was recognized as the largest heritage in the world and was honored as a loving element, praised by all the members of the international committee and the audience.
The fact that both Nowruz and Ramadan are important cultural and religious events for a unique experience to capture the true essence of the two, now would be a great time to visit Iran. However, there will be certain changes in daily life. Since most people are fasting during the day, the social outings, family gatherings, and coming together of acquaintances to break the fast usually happens at evenings. During the holy month of Ramadan, the city comes to life in a whole new way at nights, which rarely can be experienced in other times of the year.
The Islamic conquest altered many Iranian traditions, especially associated with national ideology, imperial institutions, and Zoroastrian rituals. Although Nowruz was an established symbol of these three aspects, it did survive, while less significant festivals were eclipsed by their Islamic rivals and gradually became abandoned by indifferent rulers or hostile authorities during Safavid and Qajar periods. Nowruz survived because it was so profoundly ingrained in Iranian traditions, history, and culture memory that Iranian identity and Nowruz mutually buttressed each other, and the emergence of a distinctly Persian Muslim society legitimized the Asian national festival and allowed it to flourish with slight modifications or elaborations.
Another capacity of intangible heritage is the survival of a cultural element. I mean that it does not have a generational break and is passed on to coming generations. But on the other hand, a tangible work must be frozen to survive. That means it should not be alive. It is not necessary for it to be alive. As long as its originality and its main components remain, it can be a tangible heritage. But the intangible heritage should not necessarily be frozen because it is alive. It is dynamic. It mixes with people. It is flexible in the face of environmental changes.
After the coming of Islam to Persia, this Asian tradition not only did not stop, but it also spread in other countries. Historically, wherever Persian culture has gone, Nowruz has gone with it. Historians have written many useful accounts of the Nowruz-related folklore in Europe, Africa, India, West Asia, and Central Asia. They contain solid data which demonstrate the widespread observation of the Nowruz.
The message that Nowruz delivers throughout the world is the message of peace and friendship, the message of growth, the message of friendship, the message of going to visit other fellow human beings, relatives and old friends, the message of shedding the layers of old thoughts for growing new thoughts. I hope that this year will be a good year for all the nations of the world, because this year Nowruz has coincided with another spring called the Spring of Quran, which is the holy month of Ramadan. I hope that both springs, whether it is the spring of nature or the spring of Quran, will bring victory and success to the Iranian nation.
Furthermore, in recent decades, Iranian communities abroad have popularized Nowruz and its related events far beyond the borders of Iran and the sphere of Persian culture.
As you know, in 2009, Iran, along with six other countries, applied to UNESCO to register Nowruz as an intangible heritage. And subsequently, in 2015, five more countries were added. And now there are 12 countries applied to UNESCO, and Nowruz is now their national celebration. Two other countries have also applied now, that is China and Mongolia, which makes a total of 14 countries. I predict that other countries will definitely join this group of Nowruz people. I believe that Nowruz is really one of the celebrations that will spread in all the countries of the world, because spring is the beginning of all good things and all aliveness.
Intangible heritage is a manifestation of human culture that sometimes may not have anything to do with a physical space, but sometimes it may gain identity only in a cultural context. That is, if we separate it from its original context or deconceptualize it, it may no longer have an identity. But some of them can continue to exist as fluid cultural elements among small or large communities and be recognized as intangible heritage. However, this is if they respect criteria such as human rights or lead to sustainable development in a land. It means to be able to put the earth, man, and its resources in a right balance and move simultaneously to be passed on to future generations.
However, during the last century, the official celebrations has been condensed into one day of public event, broadcasted since the 1940s by the radio and since the 1960s by the television. These media have tended to standardize the Nowruz ceremonies, and consequently, a great deal of regional variations is fast disappearing. In that sense, the impact of social media, too, has been trivial at best, according to experts. That said, in contemporary Iran, Nowruz remains the single most important national festival of the Iranians, who celebrate it with considerable zeal and pomp. Accordingly, after the victory of the Iranian Revolution in 1979, the sentiments and the overall policy of the leaders of the Islamic Republic has been depicted as both religious and culturally proud of the Asian heritage.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
There's plenty more right after a quick diversion into world media.
Here's how it looks on the page. NBC News says, Mickey Mouse celebrates Persian New Year. Iranians are thrilled by the representation. With spring around the corner, Iranians everywhere are preparing for the Persian New Year with food, music, and rituals. And for the first time, so is Mickey Mouse. In a video published earlier this week by Disney Junior on YouTube, Mickey is seen getting ready for Nowruz and teaching children how they can partake in celebrations. The 13-day holiday, which begins on March 20th this year and marks the first day of spring, means new day in Persian. This isn't Mickey's first holiday celebration. Back in October, Disney Junior released a video where he taught viewers the meaning and traditions of the Indian holiday, Diwali. East Bay Times reads, Halwa Torshi, first ever East Bay Nowruz market, hits this weekend. Nowruz, the arrival of the spring equinox, is an Asian celebration of hope and renewal. A group of East Bay students and makers are organizing a one-stop shop for the holiday, also known as Persian New Year. The market, the first of its kind in East Bay and likely the Bay Area, will feature a dozen vendors, mostly of Iranian descent, selling homemade foods, think tangy Persian torshi and nutty halva, plus art, jewelry, vintage clothing, plants, and other do-it-yourself goods on March 20th at 2727 California Street, a cooperative art gallery in Brickley. Organizer Helia Saderi, chief founder of Big Deal Kitchen, says she noticed a lack of community around Nowruz when she immigrated to the Bay Area from Iran in 2016. That was one of the reasons she and the other vendors wanted to hold a market. In Iran, it's such a big deal, she says. Anywhere you go, there are stands selling everything you need for your haftseen, the Nowruz table, and people are getting ready for spring. It's such a beautiful time. We just wanted to bring a little of that energy to the East Bay. According to Mirage News, Cumberland Council celebrates Nowruz in Granville Center. Cumberland Council will be hosting an evening of drums, music, singers, and feasting as part of Nowruz celebrations on Saturday, 18th March. For the first time, Council will be holding a community event to celebrate Nowruz, meaning New Day, marking the beginning of spring and renewal. Mayor Lisa Lake said she was looking forward to embracing this cultural event with the community. Nowruz is a significant time of year for many people in our community. It promotes peace, harmony, and togetherness among friends and family. It also focuses on cultural diversity and friendship among peoples and different communities, she said. Preparation for Nowruz celebration begins in early March with spring cleaning, which is common in almost every household. All family members are involved in this ritual, a ritual that signifies a fresh start to the new year. And then it's shopping time. During the weeks left to the new calendar year, people head for the markets and shopping centers to buy an assortment of goods. And what's on the list? New clothes, new shoes, fresh fruits, sweets and confectionaries, nuts, flowers, and everything that goes on the haftseen table. This special spread is a must on the new year, and local markets are packed with enthusiastic shoppers who are looking for those special offers and last-minute bargains. Local flower markets are the busiest during the final days of the year. They're filled with fresh-cut flowers, beautiful potted plants, and vendors beckoning you to buy. Nevertheless, the most important curtain raiser to Nowruz is Charshanbe Suri, which is a fire festival held on the eve of the last Wednesday of the calendar year. This festival is full of special customs and rituals, especially jumping over fire. As the sun sets, people light up fires and gather around to jump over them. In this ritual, people sing to the fire to take their paleness and problems and give them energy and warmth in return. In this ritual, people sing to the fire to take their paleness and problems and give them energy and warmth in return. As the last day of the year comes to an end, everyone rushes home to be with their families and loved ones. While the clock is ticking away and the new year is approaching, the family sits around the specially prepared half-seen table that includes seven items symbolically set on the table.
One of the contemporary moral crises is nuclearization of families. Some people believe that they're alone. They should be lonely. Their lives have nothing to do with others. As a result, people are becoming lonely, and the crisis of loneliness, and that it is not related to anyone, what I do, and I have to solve my own problems. These concepts, this may work for a short period of time, but in the long run, it makes life a misery. In collective lives, work and labor are divided. In a family of 10 people, for example, one person is responsible for shopping, another person is responsible for cooking, another person is responsible for washing the dishes, or for example, two people are responsible for making money.
The Holy Quran also has a special place on the table, and so does a bowl of water with a couple of goldfish in it, a favorite especially to the children.
This isolation of people is a necessity for the Western capitalist system. Why? Because you can more easily sell goods and services to a single person. You can rob his or her money easier this way. This is the need of capitalism. Therefore, when a group of people come together, the capitalist system cannot easily pick their pockets or colonize them. The capitalist system has different ways and methods for this loneliness under different titles such as feminism, nuclear families, the necessity of not interfering with others, and even silly things like same-sex cohabitation. This is the lifestyle that really takes humanity to the abyss of death. The capitalist system encourages the man of today to live with snakes, dogs, and lizards.
During the month of Ramadan, Muslims abstain from eating, drinking, smoking from sunrise to sunset, and at evenings, which is known as iftar, they break their fast. In addition to practicing piety, fasting is also a means to appreciate God's blessings and, in a sense, to empathize with the poor and the needy. Taking care of the poor is a common practice among Iranians, especially during Nowruz and Ramadan. One of such practices is giving alms or nazri, which is preparing and offering free food to the public, in particular the homeless and the less unfortunate. One of such places to get nazri is mosques during iftar times.
Ramadan is one of five pillars of Islam, alongside the declaration of faith, prayer five times a day, almsgiving, and the pilgrimage to Mecca.
The month of Ramadan, which is referred to as the spring of the Quran, means returning to the Quran and paying attention to the Quran. In the meantime, we witness that in the month of Ramadan, a person feels a meaningful change within himself and has less desire for crimes and sins. He or she usually has this feeling that the hands and feet of Satan are tied up. I'm not talking about those people whose souls are used to sins and crimes. What I mean is that there's a tendency towards goodness and forgiveness in this month.
Ramadan is both a reminder and a practice. It comes every year to remind us how good we can be toward people, animals, the planet, and nature. It gives us an opportunity to practice our limits and the extent to which we are able to endure hardships. It is a chance to forgive and be forgiven. It is a new start on the path of being a better person.
Both Nowruz traditions and Muslim traditions encourages us towards unity and call us to sit together and gather together and call us towards mutual friendship and coexistence. Humans can live in peace and empathy in the shadow of other humans. This empathy goes far beyond speaking the same language or being partner or having common interests. People who close and lock the door on others and sink into loneliness, a father who is separated from his children, a woman who is separated from her husband, a child who is separated from his grandfather, these make the human soul violent, and that's why the Western leaders and people wage wars very easily and kill without mercy.
Mosques become more active during this holy month. Communal praying, recitations of the Quran, and preaching by the religious figures and other respected authorities are among other ceremonies held during this month. The last 10 days are especially important because the Quran was revealed in this month at the Night of Decree or Laylatul Qadr. Also, 19th and 21st of Ramadan are the days of the assassination and martyrdom of Imam Ali, the first Shia Imam. Over these nights, many religious groups start their memorial ceremonies to pay their respects to Imam Ali and mourn his brutal assassination. Also, there is the International Quds Day on the last Friday of Ramadan. It is a legacy of the late founder of the Islamic Republic, Imam Khomeini, who designated the day in solidarity with Palestinians. The International Quds Day has been held worldwide since the 1979 Islamic Revolution in Iran. Iranians, along with people across the world, mark this day to reiterate their call for the liberation of Palestine from the Israeli regime's occupation and to denounce Israelis' atrocities. Eid al-Fitr marks the end of Ramadan. The occasion is celebrated with a great feast. The feast of breaking the fast comes with a solemn prayer called Salat al-Eid. Most people will attend their local mosque for this communal prayer. The prayers are usually led by prominent religious figures or marjas.
That's all for today. Thank you from the whole team. Please do tune in next week, same time and each week after. Don't forget to leave your comments and topic requests. Till next time, take care.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Al-Musavi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome to IRIB English Radio. And you are listening to the program Bridge. We are looking at supplication number 8 of Al-Sahifat As-Sajadiyya for Al-Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn Zainul Abidin. We got the part where the Imam alayhi salam says, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from mubahatul mukthirin, to be in the state where we are trying to compete with other people. And especially here he says, with al-mukthirin, the people that have too much of things. Now, naturally, as human beings, we were created to seek perfection. We want to be perfect in any way we can. And perfection lies in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So naturally, we need to move towards Allah because He's the perfect and we are seeking that perfection. But sometimes we divert this perfection from Allah or seeking Allah to seeking this material world, that a person starts to want things, material items, and we start to think that our perfection is in these things. So the first thing we do is we look at other people. When we look at other people, we see people who have houses, people who have cars, people who have money, people who have many things. Naturally, what we want and what we feel inside is that I want to be like them. I want to have the same things that they have. I want to be rich. I want to do that. Now, that in itself, wanting to have things and be rich and stuff, obviously there's no problem in it as long as it is halal. The problem comes when I try to compete with other people. Before we continue, let us go to a break and then we will come back.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are still listening to the program Bridge. So we were saying before the break that there was no harm in a person wanting to have material things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this zina of this world, the beauty of this world, was preserved for the mu'mineen to have it, to indulge in. But when comes a point of tafakhur, a point of trying to boast, point where we're trying to compete with other people, that's when the problem comes. So we have pride, and you have tafakhur, you have boasting, and you have mubahat. Look at me, you know, look at what I have accomplished, look at the things that I have, and so on and so forth. This is what the Imam is talking about, that sure, work, earn, have things. But don't look at other people and say, well, I need to compete with them. I need to have what they're having. I need to have more than what they're having. I want to be the richest man. I want to be this wealthy. I want to be that. This is not required, because if we move to that way or to that path, shaitan surely will get the best of us when it comes to these things. So we have to be extremely careful not to fall into that aspect of things and that side of things where we're trying to compete with other people. A mu'min, a believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared heaven for him. He said, look, you want to have tabahi and tafakhur, you want to boast and feel good about yourself and, you know, try to show off in front of people, do so, but not in this world, in the hereafter. Allah says, tilka darul akhirah. نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عَلُوًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا. The hereafter, we have preserved it for those who don't want to be famous, don't want to be known, don't want to be wealthy in this earth, and they don't want to see corruption. This is for them. For those who want to do tafakhur in this world and to want to think they are better than others and want to be than others, then they're competing for this dunya. If we compete over this world, we will fail and lose. Why? Because no matter how much we have, no matter how much we gain, no matter how much we earn, it will always stay behind. I will die and I will not take a single thing with me. I will go empty-handed. So why would I do that to myself? Let us take a short break and then we will come back.
Thank you.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge. So we're talking about the people who are boasting and competing with other people and wanting to have more than others. This tabahi, this state of mind where you want to show yourself to other people is not required. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran, يا أيها الناس إن خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى. We created you from male, female. وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارف. We made you tribes and nations so you can get to know each other. إن أكرمكم عند الله. Surely the most honored, the most respected, the most beloved in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are whom? أتقاكم, the most pious of you. If there's any تفاخر, if there's any, you know, a tabahi, a person boasting and a person trying to take pride in himself, he should leave that to Akhirah, where people will see him being in the highest levels of heaven. And a person down there, he can say, well, Alhamdulillah, look at me, I achieved so much. Tafakhur is for the other world, not in this world. Allah says here, the best amongst you is the one who has what? Taqwa, who has piety. Not the one who has the most wealth. Not the one that has the biggest house. Not the one who has the fastest car. That's not how this works. It always works the opposite with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this dunya, we have to be very careful not to do tabahi with those who are wealthy or those who are mukrithin. Now, having said that, since it is the beginning of the month of Ramadan for some countries, and could be yesterday for other countries, depending where you are. Either way, it is the month of worship, the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we wish everyone that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept their fast and accept their salah and accept their a'mal in general. So, and also since we are in this month as well, we have to be also down to earth in terms of if we want to give charity, if we want to give food to other people, because some people will always be giving and we're trying to compete with them as well. So sometimes we compete in the good, sometimes we compete in the bad. So if it comes to competing in the good, as long as it is the intention for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then by all means, help as much as you can. But if it comes just to compete with people to show yourself, then that might be problematic in this month of Ramadan. Inshallah, we wish you the best. And we wish Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts your a'mal. And thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Al-Musawi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهن عشق و تولای تو را یا سجاد.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Iran strongly condemns Israel's airstrikes against Syria, saying the regime is violating international law by targeting the country's civilian infrastructure. The UN Children Agency warns that over 500,000 Yemeni children under the age of 5 are suffering life-threatening severe acute malnutrition. North Korea says it has tested an underwater nuclear attack drone which can unleash a radioactive tsunami. Hello and welcome from our headquarters in Tehran. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisu Mishahmadi, and these are our top stories this hour. Iran has strongly condemned Israel's attacks against the international airport in the Syrian city of Aleppo. The country's deputy ambassador to the United Nations says such attacks pose a serious threat to regional peace and stability. Zahra Ershadi was addressing a UN Security Council session on the situation in Syria. She said Israel's attacks target Syrian civilian infrastructure and violate international humanitarian law and the UN Charter. Ershadi added that Israel's strikes have serious humanitarian consequences for the people of Aleppo following the recent devastating earthquake that hit northwestern parts of Syria. The Iranian diplomat called on the international community to end its silence and hold Israel to account for its crimes. She also urged the UN Security Council to stop its double-standard approach to Israel and condemn the regime's violations of international law and UN Charter. Israel has conducted two major airstrikes against Aleppo International Airport in less than a month. The airport is the main port of entry for foreign aid to the quake victims. A U.S. base in northeastern Syria has come under missile attack hours after Washington announced that it targeted resistance groups in the area. The base is located at the Al Omar oil field in Deir ez-Zor province. No group has taken responsibility, but a military source in Syria earlier told Press TV that decisive action would be taken in response to the U.S. air raid. On Thursday, a U.S. base near Hasaka also came under attack by an unmanned aircraft, leaving a U.S. contractor dead and 5 U.S. servicemen injured. Washington has stationed hundreds of troops in Syria under the guise that they're fighting terrorist groups like Daesh. The Syrian government, however, sees the troops as occupiers. Damascus says the U.S. military presence on the country's soil violates its sovereignty and is aimed at looting its natural resources. And moving on, the United Nations Children's Agency says over 500,000 Yemeni children under the age of 5 are suffering life-threatening severe acute malnutrition. UNICEF issued the warning in a new report, adding one Yemeni child dies every 10 minutes from preventable causes. The world body said a total of 11 million children are in need of humanitarian assistance in Yemen. UNICEF, however, has warned that it might have to slash support for Yemeni children without a funding boost. The organization says that it requires $484 million to continue assistance this year. The UN raised only $1.2 billion for all of its agencies in Yemen at a pledging conference in Switzerland last month. Saudi Arabia and its allies launched a devastating war on Yemen in March 2015. The war has killed hundreds of thousands of Yemenis and led to what the UN calls the world's worst humanitarian crisis. Tensions continue to rise on the Korean Peninsula as Pyongyang claims to have tested a new tactical weapon capable of creating a, quote, radioactive tsunami. North Korean military says it has tested a new nuclear-powered underwater attack drone, which can be deployed at any coast and port. The country's leader, Kim Jong-un, who oversaw the test launch this week, said the exercise was a warning to Washington and Seoul to be aware of the North's nuclear deterrence. Reacting to the latest test, South Korea's President Yoon Suk-yeol vowed that Pyongyang would pay for its, quote, reckless provocations. Yoon, who has been staging several joint military drills with the U.S. over the past year, says Seoul would develop its own nukes if deemed necessary. Turkey's pro-Kurdish party and its allies have decided not to field a candidate for the upcoming presidential election. The party's leader, Pervin Buldan, said the alliance seeks to fight a one-man rule set by the AKP and its allies. This means that Kurdish voters are likely to vote for Erdogan's opponent, Kemal Kocaeto. Here's a report.
Turkey is a pro-Kurdish People's Democratic Party, and its allies have announced that they will not field a candidate to run against President Erdogan on May 14. HDP co-chairwoman Pervin Buldan made the announcement in a presser for the Labour and Freedom Alliance, which includes the HDP, the Turkish Workers' Party, and other leftist parties. Although it was not made clear during the conference, the announcement means the HDP will support